Welcome to the Crash Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Mark Andrews.
We're going to get into the Word. If you have your phone, just keep it open, and we're going to be rolling in the Song of Solomon. This is one of the coolest books in the Bible. It's like the rated R book in the Bible, which is fantastic. I love that it's in there. This book was almost excluded from the canon of Scripture because back in the day, they were trying to put the Bible together, and they read that, and they're like, oh, Lord, I don't know. Like, it was a lot. It was kind of steamy, and so they're like, it made it, thank God, because God wanted it to be in there, and there's some really, really good stuff that we want to get into. How many, wherever you're at, if you're single, if you're married, how many want to learn and grow in relationships? You want your relationships to be solid. You want them to be godly. I don't know what the rest of you want, but we're going to pray for you at the end. No, I'm fine. I want it to be terrible. Good. Let's just keep doing what you're doing. We want to get into a few things. Now, here's some questions for you up front. Do you think that God would have given us this feeling as perceivable as romance? Look at somebody go, oh, right? This passion and drive as powerful as sex? Look at somebody go, whoa, easy. Take it easy. And this institution that can be amazing and beautiful but can also be so painful as marriage sometimes can be. Do you think that we have all that going on in our lives and God has said absolutely nothing about it? No, God has talked about it. And as we said, he's given us an entire book in the Old Testament. If you had an old school Bible instead of on your phone, in your phone you can just kind of thumb down to it. It's kind of in the middle there in the Old Testament. There are 8 incredible chapters called the Song of Solomon. Somebody say Song of Solomon. This dude was one of the wisest dudes to ever live. Outside of Jesus, the Bible calls him the wisest guy ever. He's a wise guy. Look at somebody say, wise guy. This dude, and some of you are thinking, some of you Bible people, I know you're like, well, he had like 700 wives and stuff, and he was a king, he had all these wives, but who better to tell us, right, what to do and how to learn and how to grow, right? We see passages in here in Psalms about worship written by David who murdered somebody, right? Struggled with deep moral issues, all kinds of things, and yet God used his life. Let's take this wisdom and learn it. Somebody said, yeah. Come on, let's take this wisdom. Listen. God gave us an entire book, and he's not silent on the subject of relationships, on dating, on attraction, on sex, on marriage, and everything in between. And we're going to get into this. Now, Song of Solomon, like I said, is 8 chapters. Say 8. I want you to put your thinking cap on. If you have your phone up, you can take notes in your phone and write some of this stuff down. We're going to see, first chapter is attraction. Everybody say attraction. We're going to get into that tonight. We're going to get into dating. Someone say dating. There's a chapter on courtship. We're going to talk about what that even means. It's kind of an old school word. We're going to talk about marriage. And for 2 chapters, somebody give me a witness on this. For 2 chapters, they're going to fight. Oh, we just got silent. Come on now. All up in your comb patch. Come on, stepping on your toe. Listen, for 2 chapters, we're going to see these people who love each other, who've been attracted, who've come together in marriage. They're going to fight because married people fight. Because they're still people. And that's normal. And that's okay, right? We're going to show how to do that in the Word of God. We're going to see a chapter on deepening the marriage. Once you're in that relationship, once you've made that commitment, how to grow deeper together. Someone say, oh, that's good. And they're going to see them in the last chapter go to the end of their life. They're going to grow old together. They're going to look at each other and take their last breath and go, I love you. And that's how they're going to find them, just like that. That's not true, but that's really good. It should be in here. Listen. This book is going to take marriage and show it as something divine, something God-given. It's going to take desire and show it as hot, passionate, and it's going to show it as normal in the right context. Somebody say the right context. It's going to show romance after marriage. I'm going to rewind that because that confused a lot of people. It's going to show romance, not just in the dating and the courtship and when you're trying to attract him, like, how you doing? And you're doing that. Listen, after you get married, it's going to show how to keep romance alive. Somebody say, ooh, I need that. Women, if you're here with your man, slap him, say, you need that. Right? Have you been out to eat before? And I know you have, and you're sitting there, and you're looking around, and you're kind of people watching, and you look over at the table, and there's this like young couple, and they're like all up in each other's business. They're like leaning across the table or sitting on the same side of the booth. What is that about? And they're talking. Some of you are those same side booth sitters. I know. And they're over there just talking and talking and talking, like, oh, baby, I love you. I mean, they're like on each other like spider monkeys, right? They're picking up. Look at that. They're just on each other. You look... You look across the same restaurant and there's an older couple, right? And it's just silence. Silence of the Lambs over there, right? The only thing that's going to happen is if somebody chokes on a crouton, maybe Heimlich is given, and that'll be the excitement, but it's just quiet, right? And you know that that's newlyweds over there that are jabbering, and you see those people that have been just silent over there. You're like, they've been married a while. The Bible's going to talk about how do we keep romance alive. That's good stuff. Somebody said, yeah. It's going to show you sex. This book shows you. There we go. Come on. Now we're waking up. Good. Someone's like, Lord, do I say amen or not? It's in the Bible, so technically, yeah, you can. It's going to show you sex, and in fact, it's going to let you watch them in the book have sex twice. Somebody said, wow. Mm-hmm. And it's going to make you sweat a little bit. It's not like the Disney G version of like, oh, and no, it's like, it's in there, man. I don't know if you read the Song of Solomon, but a lot of people are going home tonight to read it, which is pretty funny. Which is inspired Bible reading throughout the entire church. Dude, where's that found? In fact, the book is so explicit that Jewish, the people who wrote the book, the Jewish people, would not allow their young boys to read it until they were older, like 15, 16 years old, for fear, the quote is, that it would ignite the passions within them. Slow your roll there, Chuckles, right? They had to grow up a little bit before they're allowed to get this. Now, here's the good news. What we're going to get into this month is not based on the wisdom of Mark Andrews. That's good news. Somebody say that's good news. Why? Because I'm a knucklehead too, yes? The person sitting next to you is a knucklehead. Nudge them and say, you're a knucklehead. Now, nudge them back and say, you're a knucklehead. We know this is true, right? Now listen, I have an amazing wife. I have an incredible wife, and our marriage is awesome, and sometimes it's like extra awesome. But there are moments, I know, few and far between, in which I struggle. And there are, I said few and far between, right? And there are moments, I don't know if any guys can relate, where I struggle to communicate. The guys just struggle to communicate right there. That was perfect. It was like, that was it. Yeah, that was it. Exactly. Sometimes I struggle to listen. Can I get a witness, ladies, from experience that you've... You're picking on the guys, man. What's up with that? So it's not based on anyone here. It's not that we're experts, because even a so-called expert, they've got relational issues, right? Everyone has issues. What we're going to do is get into the Word of God. We're going to let God speak to us through His Word. This is a 3,000-year-old document that the wisest man to ever live outside of Jesus wrote. It's called the Song of Songs because it's a love song. Somebody said, ooh. And in the first verse, he said, this is the best song I ever wrote. He wrote over 1,000 songs. And when he starts this book, he said, this is the best one I ever wrote. This was to my main squeeze. This was to my lady, right? This is to the one that I found and married, and it's the love of my life. Somebody say, that's good. Let's jump into it. If you have your Bible, look into it. If you have your phone, look into it. And if you don't have either of those, look on the screens. We're going to jump into a couple of verses here. How do you attract? Someone say attraction. Look at somebody next to you and say, attraction. Kind of draw them in with the word. Say, attraction. See some creepy things going on out there from up here. Calm down, men. Men are like, attraction. Before we get into attraction, because attraction can be confusing, right? Depending on what country you're from, depending on what part of the world, attraction means very different things. Hot is different, right? Who do you think, besides obviously the person that you're here with, who is a hot celebrity? Who's just hottie patati? Who do you think? Shout it out. Let me hear it. Ladies, let me hear from you. Channing Tatum. Channing Tatum, really? That's the best we're doing tonight. Men, I'm not going to ask you to say that because I don't want you to be in trouble. We all can think of hot. We can think of that. But really, before we even get into attraction, we have to understand, we get confused on what attraction really is. Somebody said, yeah. We're not even sure what attraction really is sometimes. We get confused on it. And really, we get caught up in attraction and how hot they are, and we want to find the one. Have you ever heard that? I'm looking for the one. Not the two, the one. Mr. Right, Mrs. Right. And we get caught up in looking for the right person, but here's what the Bible wants to teach us tonight. We have to be solid. We have to be rock solid on the kind of person that we want and that God tells us that we should have and not settle for anything less. Somebody said, yeah, that's good. You should take a note on that. Here we go. Let's jump into the word. Look at verse 2. I like, man, he doesn't pull any punches. He just starts it right off. May he kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Can the church say amen? Guys, you need to have your ladies memorize this verse, quote it to you when you come home, and then practice it right there. May he kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. That's romantic. Somebody say, mm-hmm. Yes, guy. This is a married couple. Take it easy. This is a married couple looking back and looking back at when they met each other, how they were attracted. They're kind of retelling the story of their love. It's okay to be attracted to someone. Say yeah. The church kind of freaks out about relationships or talking about anything real. And it's like, I can't even like somebody. I can't even look at somebody. I can't even notice her. That's not true. The word said, listen, it's okay to have natural attraction. Someone say natural attraction. That's a part of it, right? These are things we're looking for in a date that'll lead to a mate, right? We're looking for some qualities here. We want to find the kind of person, and one of them is natural attraction. If every time you see them, you get like a queasy feeling and want to vomit, that's probably not a good deal, right? I'm telling you, it's not a good, don't ignore that stuff, because here's what we know. Good things that are good in the relationship, when you get married, they become great things. Somebody say, yeah. But bad things become worse. Are you with me? Good things become better and bad things become worse. Don't ignore that feeling, because the lie that we tell ourselves because we're so desperate for love and affection is this: I'll grow to love him. I'll grow to love her. It's fine. That really annoying thing that they do that I just want to lose my mind, that's not going to get cuter in year 15 of marriage. It's not going to. I see some married people going, it's not. His gas wasn't funny on the first date, and it's still not funny. Listen, it's okay to be attracted to somebody. The Bible says, listen, that's okay. That natural attraction, you notice her, you notice him. That's a part of it, of course. Goes on to say this in verse 3. Your oils have a pleasing fragrance. Come on now. What that means, back in the day, men, we didn't have the opportunity to take a lot of baths. Hopefully you have plenty of those opportunities now. But back in the day, we didn't have that. And so men would cover and perfume themselves with these oils, right? And the way she uses it in this context means you're a good-looking man. Ladies, let me hear you say, you're a good-looking man. Let me hear it. Ladies, say, you're a good-looking man. Say it like you're saying it to a good-looking man right now. Mm-hmm. Men say, that's right. Your oils have a pleasing fragrance. You're a good-looking man. There's nothing wrong with a good-looking guy or girl. That's a part of it. But here's the myth. The myth is that looks are everything, right? We get so caught up in attraction and chemistry and hotness, and we're looking on the surface. Somebody say surface. We're looking at the surface. And guys, especially, man, we struggle with this. Let's be honest. We'll date. We'll pursue somebody strictly because she's hot. All the men say hot. All the men said, hot, don't be hiding. Now they're like, oh, that's not me. I see if she likes to read books first. And like, yeah, sure you do. And we get stupid with this, right? We get dumb with this. And like everyone else can see how she is. I'm like, dude, she's like lazy, bro. She's like a slug. Yeah, but she hot, right? Yeah, but she fights with your friends. Yeah, but she hot. Man, she hates your parents. Yeah, but she hot. Can I get a witness, man? One honest guy over here. Thank you, Renee. Listen. There's nothing wrong with being attracted to somebody. There's nothing wrong with somebody looking good. But watch this. Beyond his good looks, the rest of verse 3 says, your name is like purified oil. Your name is like purified oil. In the Bible, your name represented your character. Say character. This is one of my favorite things to get into when we talk about relationships, your character. Character comes from a word, a Greek word. I'm going to teach you some Greek. You ready? Karasso. Say karasso. That was sad. Say carasso with some passion. It comes from carasso. Carasso refers to a small etching tool, some metal tool that's in there, chiseling and etching and leaving something permanent. That's carasso, and that's what character is. Something permanent, something that does not change. And she says, you're good looking, right? All the single ladies say, I need one of those. Not the married ones. Come on, baby. That's, hey, that's a different series. We're going to turn. That's it. Listen, we want one of those, but listen, here's the thing. She says, beyond your good looks, that's okay that you're good looking, but beyond your good looks, you have a name. You have a character. There's something about you that stands the test of time, and that's what I'm attracted to. Can I get a witness? That's sad. His character, her character. Listen, Carasso is his character. It's his love. It's his holiness. It's his honesty. Can I get a witness? It's her morality. It's her attitude. It's his patience. It's his ability to listen. Those things are character. Those things are etched in you. They're carasso and they don't change. Hotness comes and goes. Are you with me? How many are getting a little bit older and you're starting to notice that time is starting to steal a little bit of your hotness? Anybody give me an honest witness here? Because you're like, man, back in my day, I was smoking, right? You were, every head was turning. And you notice as time goes, a hotness begins to fade. And so listen, when you base things off of hotness, that's going to change. And then suddenly your relationship shifts completely because you've built it on something that is shifting. Can you hear me? Well, we have that in common. We both love the same movies. Well, that's really sweet. But in 15 years, that's not going to matter. And you built a relationship on the four things you had in common. And she was hot. And she actually said yes. And so, you know, you got married. Listen, we've got to build it on carasso. Someone say carasso. Carasso's not changing. Carasso is etched in us. Somebody say, yeah. When I met Leticia, I was attracted to her. I saw that red hair and I was like, hello, red. Right, yeah. I was attracted, natural attraction. And then the more I got to know her, she was working at the school and I was working with youth and youth ministry. And I saw that she was super involved in the school, making it better, doing an amazing job. I saw that she was involved at the church. I saw that she was involved in ministry. I saw that she had friends and was social and had things going on. And I was attracted to her initially. And then when I got to know her character, somebody said carasso. I was attracted to that because that's who she is. Yeah? You with me? There's something about this carasso. We've got to catch that because if we base it on other things, we're going to have a tough time. How many know being single is tough? Can I get a witness? Maybe you're single or maybe you used to be single or maybe you're newly single and some things didn't work out and now you find yourself single again. How many know, come on, that single can be tough? Let me hear you. Let's put it another way. How many know being single can be lonely? That was a sad amen. Yeah. Dear diary. Being single is tough. There is loneliness, absolutely. But let me tell you this. What's worse than being single and struggling with the loneliness is being in a marriage and feeling lonely. What's worse than being single and struggling with loneliness, but having hope for the future and hope that something's going to happen and a trust and a hope that there's something good coming down the road is to have married on something other than carasso and you find yourself in a relationship that now you're kind of stuck in. Are you with me? And we find that we did not build it on that and now we're lonely in a marriage. So understand, if you're single here, like let's not get depressed about it. Let's not rush that because there's a process. God's going to lead you somewhere. You follow his word, you obey his word, and God's going to hook you up. Somebody said amen. This isn't in the notes. One of the hardest areas in life to trust God in, finances. We already talked about that last month. You know what I think is even a match or a struggle or even beyond finances? You know what's really hard to trust God in? Relationships. It's hard, man. It is difficult to trust God in relationships because this is me. I do me. I do this. God is here. I do the worship part. I go there and I go home on Mondays and go to my real life. But to invite him into your relationship choices is scary. It's scary to trust him and say, God, I trust you enough that you love me enough that you will hook me up with the right person when it's time. That you're making me the right person. That you're doing things in me and working on me. And in that moment, in that season, you're going to bring us together. To trust him with that is so difficult. Somebody said, yeah. We're looking for natural attraction. That's a given. We're looking for carasso. Somebody said, yes. Look at the end of verse 3. It said, therefore the maidens love you. It said, all the ladies love you. Somebody bring me a little handheld. What do we got right here? Let me do this. Kind of freaking out on me. Check, 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 check. Test, test, test. Can you hear me? Hey. Wow, it sounds amazing. This summer. Single people will find love. Listen, the maidens love you. Somebody say, yeah. The maidens love you. What does that mean? It means people are looking at you and they don't hate you. They look and say, wow, of course you would like him. And what she's saying here in this moment, she's writing that. She's like, every woman wants you and I got you. Hit the road, ladies, right? That's my man. Mine. That's how you should feel. And that's how the people around you should feel, like, wow, what an amazing guy, what an amazing woman. Like, that's incredible. When they're all like holding up like red flags and like, run! And you're like, no, I'm in love. You need to just have somebody slap you in the face that you trust and then snap out of it. Listen, she's saying this too. You're a man of God. You're a godly man. Someone say God chaser. We're trying to identify the kind of person we want. We want to be naturally attracted. It's built on carasso and character. And they need to be a God chaser. The thing that we try to do is flirt to convert. Have you ever heard this? I'm just on missions, Bo. I just go out into a broken and dark world and I find hot chicks and I flirt with them to bring them to Christ. No, you don't, you liar. Come on, Bo. Listen, it doesn't work. Occasionally, but it doesn't work. Don't do that. Listen, when you're looking for somebody, when you're looking and we're trying to figure out who, the type of person, we need to find somebody that we don't have to encourage to chase God. Somebody said, yeah. Now, we know we get there in different seasons, and that's something, a reality that we have to deal with. But when you are looking, when you're pursuing, listen, you need to find someone who's already pursuing him. You need to find, guys, a woman who's already moving toward God. Why? Because I'm going this way. I'm moving toward God. I'm interested in the kingdom. I want God to do things. I'm not going to go a different way to pursue something. I want somebody who's going this way with me. Somebody said, yeah. We want a God chaser, man. We want a God chaser because it's going to make all the difference. Here's the thing. If somebody's not obedient to God while they're single, what makes us think they're going to flip a switch and when they get married, they're going to be obedient to God? Jesus said, hey, men, I want you to love your wife as I love the church and gave myself for it. He literally died for the church. And he said, men, that's your challenge for your wives. There's no way to obey that unless I'm pursuing him. Amen? There's no way to pursue that and fulfill that call unless I'm in a relationship with Jesus. Somebody said, yeah. Verse 4 says, draw me after you and let us run together. I love that. That's what I'm talking about. Let's chase God together. Let's go this way together. We don't have it all figured out, but I'm moving toward God. And come on, you're moving toward God. Let's chase him together. Skipping down, it says, rightly do they love you. The maidens, it's right. This thing is right. It's not wrong. We're not doing it wrong. We're not doing it outside of the word of God. It's right, and people know it's right. Somebody said, yeah. Are you learning anything? Look at verse 5 right here. Verse 5 says this, I am black but lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. The tents of Kedar was a Bedouin tribe, and their tents were made out of black wool. And then she says the curtains of Solomon, which were these royal, amazing curtains in the temple, they were purple and beautiful. And she's saying, I have this beauty, I have this thing to offer, but there's something a little bit wrong here. She explains what she means by black in verse 6. She says, do not stare at me because I am swarthy, for the sun has burned me. She's damaged her skin. She's sunburned is what she says. Well, why is that a big deal? Because in Orient times back in the day, your skin was prized. It was huge. So I say, yeah, this is why they covered up. In our day, we're all trying to get tan. Are you with me? Yeah. Back then, you wanted to be a pasty gangster. I would have fit in really, really well, right? It was good to be pasty. And that's what she's saying. Listen, it's damaged me. Why? Why did that happen? My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me caretaker of the vineyards, but I have not taken care of my own vineyard. She's explaining and she's saying, listen, some things went down in the family and I had to go to work. I had to do a job. And you see that she's working. You see that she's obedient to the authority in her life here. Number 4 on things that we're looking for, the kind of person that we're looking for. Somebody say hard worker. Everybody say hard worker. Say selfless. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for people that will work hard. That is a huge part of connecting with the right person. Now, again, one of the lies that we tell ourselves is they'll change. I'll change them. This is kind of a girl lie here that you tell yourself. I can change him. He's crazy, but I'm going to change him, right? He's a bad boy, but I'm going to change him. He's crazy gangster, right? Listen, it's not going to work. You're not going to change. People only change if they want to change. You can't change anybody. I'm going to say that again because somebody needs to just like hear that. You can't change anybody. People have to want to change and be in a position to change, and then they'll change. You can't force it. You can't nag them. You can't do it. They're not going to change unless they want to. Somebody said yes. Listen, selfishness. I don't care how hot he or she is. I don't care how rich they are. I don't care what they drive. If they're selfish, if they're lazy, it's going to kill hotness every time. Lazy kills hot every time. Can I get a witness? It just does. It's not attractive. There's a spark. There's a chemistry. Yeah, but he's selfish. That thing is gone. Are you with me? We're looking for hard workers. We're looking for people who are selfless. She's obedient. Someone say, yeah. She's obedient. Men, look for a girl who's not going crazy if she's still connected with her parents or lives with parents. Like, if she can't get along with her mom or dad, if she can't get along with her roommates, check a girl's roommates. That's always a good little tip there, right there. Just go do some recon on the roommates and say, hey, what do you think of so-and-so? And they're like, ooh, she's like ratchet. Then they run away. You can Google what ratchet means later. Listen, if he's a disobedient, if he's a rebel, if he's doing his own thing and he has a problem with authority and he's like whatever to the boss and whatever to my family and whatever, and he's the bad, run, run, run. We want you to run away because that is a big piece of nothing that you want to get into there. Listen, in the scripture, her physical appearance is played down just like the man's is. The physical, how they look. Yes, they're attracted to each other. Yes, they're hottie pies, but it's played down. And you know what's focused on? Carasso, character. Because if you want to do it God's way, you're going to base it on character. Someone say carasso. This is what we're looking for. Hard workers, selfless. Look at verse 7 right here. Tell me, you whom I love, where you graze your flock. Guys, don't try that pickup line tonight. That's going to not go over well. Where you been grazing your flock, girl? Creepy. Tell me, you whom I love, where you graze your flock and where you rest your sheep at midday. Why should I be like a veiled woman beside the flocks of your friends? Here she's referring to prostitutes. This is what prostitutes did back in the day. They would follow the men around in their flocks. And as they got away from the cities and stuff, they would be out in the country watching their flocks. And these veiled prostitutes would go and offer their services to the men. And she said, I'm not going to do that. Why should I be like that? She says, there are things, listen, I love you. You're hot. You're a man of character. I want you. But there are some things I'm not willing to do. Did you hear me? There are things I'm not willing to do. There are boundaries that I'm not okay with crossing. We need to find somebody who has boundaries. Somebody say boundaries. We need to find somebody with boundaries. Now, the lie is that if I don't cross certain boundaries with him or her, I'm going to lose them. Are you with me? If I don't cross those boundaries, I'm going to lose. If they are forcing you or pressuring you or pushing you to cross boundaries, you need to lose them. 3.5 amens from people who've been there. Listen, if they are pressuring you, if they're pushing you, if they're pulling you in a different direction than God is pulling you, you need to lose them. You need to turn your back and run. Are you with me? I know that's easier said than done. I know our heart gets all entangled, but we listen, if we're holding God's hand and somebody comes along and they're holding our hand and they begin pulling, you have to decide whose hand you're letting go of. You have to decide which hand am I letting go of. And if you let go of God's hand, who can actually fulfill you and make you happy and who's always going to have your back and who loves you with an unconditional love, if you let go of that, you are cray cray. Pinch somebody next to you and say, you're crazy. You're crazy. You got to have boundaries. We need people with natural attraction. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for carasso. We're looking for a God chaser, a hard worker. Don't get with somebody lazy. Boundaries. And this is what attraction is about. Somebody said, yeah. That's what attraction is in the scripture. The guy has a name and the girl has a heart. Yeah, the guy's name is greater than his looks. The girl's heart is greater than her skin. And they come together on carasso. They come together on something that is etched, something that doesn't move, something that is unshakable. They're building it on the word of God and it's carasso. And down the line, they're still built on that. They don't build on something flimsy. They don't build on looks that are going to be gone in 15 years. They don't build on that junk. They build on carasso. Why? Because they want it to last. If you want it to last, build it on carasso. Build it on carasso. We have to become attracted to character. We've got to know who we're looking for, right? I'm not looking for the right one. I'm not looking for the hot one. I'm not looking for the one. I'm looking for a kind of person. I'm looking for a person that has these characteristics. It's not about the one. It's not about finding the one. It's to know the kind of person you want and you don't settle for less. Somebody said, yeah. I like in verse 4 how it said, draw me after and let's run together. That's one of the best pictures I've heard in relationships is here's what you do. You begin to run after God. Someone said amen. You begin to pursue him and to chase him and run as fast as you can toward God. This is you. You're running really fast. You're passionately pursuing him. You smile while you run because it's a pleasure to run after God, and your knees move like this and you're chasing him. And what you do is as you're sprinting after God, you look over to your right and you look over to your left and you see who's running with you. You with me? And after a while, as they're running the same speed and they're running the same direction and they're running after God, you look over at them and you kind of wave. Hey. And after a while, you invite them to come over and run together toward God. And that's what a marriage should be. That's what a relationship should be. I'm pursuing him with everything I have. I'm looking for people who are pursuing him as hard as I am. And eventually we say, let's pursue him together. That's what we're looking for.
For more information and other resources, check out thecrash.tv.